We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holding Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Kempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Kempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Hallelujah. He rose. Aren't you glad he rose in your soul today? Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this blessed privilege to hear your word. Allow the Holy Ghost in his perfect teaching, preaching ministry to meet us in the text, tailor the truth with teaching that every hearer's heart might not only hear you but heed you. And oh God, we give you all praise and glory for what you shall do for our obedience to your word. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the believers said, amen. God bless you. I've been summoned back to Psalms number 46 and verse 10. Psalms number 46 and verse 10. Recorded are these words. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy words. But just a little while, I want to talk about knowing God. Knowing God. One of the things that I think is so important is the declaration that God begins with when he says in this verse, I am God. I am God. I am God. And it's clear that in saying this, it's important for the believers to understand that in order for you to get the right understanding, the right perspective of who God is, you have got to have a personal relationship with him. You've got to have some personal experience with him. It's all good that others know him and have testimonies about him and are witnesses of him, but you've got to know him for yourself. One of the things that you're going to notice that it reveals, it's a revelation of God in different areas here. I want to begin back at verse 1 because there are three things that I want to share with you in verse 1 that reveals again that God himself is far more than what many of us imagine or know him to be. The first part of the word says in verse 1, God is our refuge. So this revelation is of God as a refuge. It's important. It's a place in scriptural history that says that it is a safe place. It is a place when you are burdened and bothered and beaten down, that you could go to what was called a city of refuge, and no matter who your enemy was then, they couldn't bother you once you made it to the city of refuge. God is saying that he is a refuge. Now, he's much greater than a city, because the issue with a city is sometime your enemy can beat you to the safe place and destroy you before you ever make it to the city of refuge. But God is a refuge. And if he is a refuge much larger than any city could ever hold him, he's filling every space. He's a part of every time. And in him, the refuge is automatic to those who have relationship with him. God is our refuge. He is our safe place. Touch your neighbor and say, he's our safe place. I mean, when you can run and hide and you can move here, but what happens if you can't walk?
That's right.
If you can't move?
That's right.
If you can't go forward and you can't go backward? What happens if you're stuck in a rut? Isn't it good to know God is our refuge, our safe place? But the verse doesn't reveal only that he's our refuge, our safe place, but the word says, and strength. God is our strength. Now let me help you understand, if you see God and know God as your strength, how powerful this is, how prolific this is, how profound this is. If you begin to know God as your strength, you'll stop depending on your strength and start depending on his strength. If you know him as our strength, then you recognize that he is stronger than any other power, any other potentate. He is the one who is superior in the strength arena. Knowing this, it is not hard for you to understand why God says that he is the one who will fight the battle. It doesn't belong to you. You belong to him. Because you belong to him, the battle that you're fighting belong to him. And because the battle that you're fighting is not yours but his, it is his strength that he will use to bring the victory. It is the strength that he uses that will determine when and how you become the conqueror. It is the strength that he utilizes that no enemy can ever overcome. So when you begin to see him as your strength, you stop worrying about how this is going to work out and how this is going to turn out. And no matter who the enemies are that surround you and seem and would overtake you, because you recognize you're dealing with the supreme strength. You're dealing with the superlative, the best of strength. There is no greater than his strength. You see, but our problem is we depend on our own strength, on our own ability, on our own reason and our own rhyme. We depend on what we can work out, we can conjure up and bring together as our own conclusion. But we will fail almost every time in comparison to the strength of the enemy and more shortly the strength of God. Listen at this. Not only does he say that he's a refuge and he's a strength or a helper, you notice here again a very present help. A very present help. Well, when will he help you? The next two words tell you. Can I tell you, you don't need strength and you don't need help when you're not in trouble? But isn't it good to know that when you are in trouble and you need some strength and you need some help, that he's present? How many times have you had to try and call for help and couldn't get through? Left a message and they didn't return your call. Called over and over and over again and still couldn't get connected. He is a very present helper, really, is what the word is saying. He is help, but you can't get help without the helper. So he's a present helper who is able to help you when you are in trouble. But not only that, if you go to verse 9, it'll tell you, and that'll get us closer to our text, because it wasn't going to be a long message today.
All right.
Verse 9 tells you that he is a conqueror. Because look at what verse 9 says. He maketh wars to cease. Listen at this. Unto the end of the earth. There is no place on earth that God can't speak and war would stop immediately. Listen to what the word says. It says, he breaketh the bow, the instruments used in the warfare. It's representative of everything that is used in the arsenal that enemies use against one another. God says, listen, I can break your weapons so that you ain't got no weapons to fight with. Look at what he goes on to say. And cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot, which is the transportation in that day, that takes them to war here and there in the fire. So God says, listen, not only can I cease war with my word, he says, but I can break up all of the weaponry and the transportation used in utilizing all of the strategic warfares. Y'all don't know who I'm talking about. Most folk would not war if they had to depend on their own strength. Literally, God is saying, I'm the one who can speak and make every war cease to be and then tear up all the weapons you use to fight against one another. And then after he says this, because it's literally still declaring that he's a conqueror, verse 10 moves on to something else that's important, to an exhortation. We just moved from the declaration of those things that he is God, he is our refuge, he is our helper, he is our conqueror, he is our strength. We know that, that's the declaration, but I want you to see the exhortation here. Look at what he says. Be still and know. And here is the part I want you to focus on. And know that I am God. And know, not think, not feel, not pray, not hope. No. Listen at this. In knowledge, know is the first part of that word. Again, you got to know that you can't have knowledge without know. And everyone is on a ledge if they don't know that he is God. Look at what he says. Look at what he says. And know that I am God. See, brothers and sisters, here, knowing God is so important to God that you understand that's why he wants you in his word. That's why he wants personal and intimate fellowship with you. That's why it begins with a relationship through Jesus Christ that brings you back into the place where the Father desires to be with you. You got to know he wants you to know who he is. I promise you, your whole life will change the more your knowledge base grows of God. You'll find strength in time of trouble and you'll find joy in the place of sorrow. You'll find all of the things that are necessary for you to be a victorious believer in the earth realm the more you know God. Now, many of us in the natural realm pride ourselves on knowing powerful political figures and influential and affluent men and women and being in places of power and positions of authority. And all of that's good in its place. But can I tell you, God is so awesome.
Yes, he is.
I don't know many of you sitting in the place today, even though the mayor is a member of our ministry. I don't know many of you have the mayor's personal cell phone number. You're getting quiet on me here now. I don't know many of you have the governor's personal cell phone number. I don't know many of you in here who have the president's personal cell phone. But thanks be to God, you ain't got to be no big eye, no important person in man's eye to have God's 111 number. You can call him up and you ain't got to worry about talking to the secretary. You ain't got to worry about talking to Dick Cheney. You ain't got to worry about talking to the other folk in life. You can call him on his direct line and tell him, that's right. The old folk used to say, Jesus is on the main line. Tell him. Oh, y'all making me close too fast now. I said it'd be a short message, but come now. Let them get back to the text. An exhortation. Know that I am God. How do you get to know that he's God? First, I want to tell you how. By believing in him. Believing in him. That's how you get to know that he's God. Believing in him. When you believe in him, and the reason the word is here, it is as an example, it is as a record, it is so that you will understand the history of our God and his ability to do what he said he'd do. And it is important for you to understand that through the word, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You begin to know him by believing in him. It's a faith walk. You weren't there when they took Jesus and hung him on the cross and lifted the cross up. You weren't there for any of those things. You weren't there when Moses crossed over the Red Sea. You weren't there when Daniel was in the lion's den and the three Hebrew boys were in the fire. You weren't there when you walked through the history in the pages of antiquity and see all of the things God delivered them from. But you've got his word. And I got news for you. You've got some witnesses right around you here now who can testify that God has brought them through a whole lot of stuff they wouldn't have gotten through had it not been for the power of our God. Had it not been for the promises of our God. Had it not been for the provisions of our God. And I'm so glad I don't have to go back to biblical antiquity to ask some of the old saints, is he really a God of his word? I believe I got some deaconess over here, and I believe I got some deacons over here, and I believe I got some preachers and some choir members and some witnesses in the pew here that God is no shorter than his word. He can back up everything he said. Is there another witness in the house somewhere? So by believing him, believe in God, have faith in God, and we begin to know God in an experiential way, meaning not just from the pages of Holy Writ, but from your own experiences with him. So it's not only knowing that he's God by believing him, but the next thing that you'll know that brings you into a closer place of knowing him is by yielding to him. See, because I can believe in him, but if I don't yield to him, then it does not become active in my life. It does not come to fruition in my life. And so I've got to realize that when I know that he is God, I believe in him, and then secondly, I yield to him. What does yield to him means? It means I then, as I know more of his word, his will, his way, I then begin to believe more of his word, his will, and his way. As I begin to believe more of his word, his will, his way, I begin to yield. That means to put my preference beneath his preference. That means I begin to say, thy will, not my will. I begin to say, God, you know what's best for me, even though I've requested this. What it does is says that I yield to the one that I know is in control. So I get to know him more by yielding to the word that he has given to me and seeing experientially that he can do the same thing for me that he did for all of the biblical characters in the word of God if I will do like them and believe him and yield to him. But there is a third thing you've got to do to know him as he desires you to know him, and that's to serve him. That's to serve him. Because one of the things that you're going to discover about believing God and yielding to God, it brings you into a closer and a more concise service for God. God then begins to put you in place and he fits you for the job, designs you for the job, and gives to you the anointing for the assignment that he has for your life. And when you begin to serve him, he shows you things that those who do not serve him cannot see. He gives you revelation and illumination on things that others who do not serve him can understand. And when you serve him, it is a relationship. It is a co-laboring relationship that you have with God. And God reveals some plans and some designs to the servants that he doesn't reveal to the spectators. You know, when folk who go around and they see houses coming up and they look from the outside, they don't know the plans. They don't know the design. They just see what they see. And they have to keep coming back around to look and see the progress made, to see how it forms up and it shapes up. But they still don't know the plans. They don't know where the master bedroom is and the guest bedroom is in the kitchen and the y'all getting quiet on me here. I'm just trying to tell somebody that when the world who spectates at a servant of God, they don't really know what God is doing internally. All they can do is see the outward effects of what God's doing, because the revelation is in his word. And he reveals it to those who serve him. That's only fair for God to let us who serve him know what's going on before we go on. Y'all catch that on your way home. We have the privilege of knowing how things are going to end before they ever start. And so when you're on the inside as a servant of the Lord, even before the battle is over, you get to shout the victory. While other folk are on the midst of the brink of a breakdown, you start shouting before the war comes on, because you've already gotten your breakthrough, because you've already heard God say, the battle isn't mine, isn't yours, it's mine. And if it's mine, don't even worry about it. Just show up to collect the rewards, the spoils of war. So that's why David said, yay! Y'all scared to go through the valley because y'all ain't walking through the valley with whom I'm walking through the valley with. And I won't fear no evil because he is with his rod and his staff. Y'all know the word, don't you? When you know God. Well, I'm going to close now. I gave you the declaration and I gave you the exhortation. And if you don't mind, I'm going to give you the consolation and sit down. To give you the consolation, I need to back up to the first two words of verse 10, and here they are, be still. See, if you were following me right along through here, you'd already start your shouting party. If you understood all I was trying to tell you, you would find out that you don't have no need to stay up all night long. You'll find out you don't have no need to lose your appetite. If you understood what I was trying to tell you here today, you'd understand that you don't have to worry about your enemies. If you understood what I was trying to tell you, you don't have to worry about how your house note gonna be paid. You don't have to worry about your enemies on every hand. You don't have to worry about your future. You don't have to worry about your present. And you don't have to worry about your past. Because God has got this thing fixed. I wish I had somebody here. Can I tell you, you can be still concerning your past. Because tell somebody, he's already dealt with your issues. He's already forgiven you of your sins. He's already pardoned you for your past. Somebody ought to say, I can be still, because God has taken care of my issues. But not only that, but somebody can rejoice in the present, because God has said, be still concerning your present, because great is his sufficiency. Whenever you get to the point where you can't do it on your own, and you belong to God, when you get weak, then are you made strong, because he said his strength is made perfect in weakness. So what I'm trying to tell somebody is, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what headaches, no matter what heartaches, no matter what troubles and trials, if you know who God is and you belong to the Lord, you don't have to wait till the battle is over. You can shout right now, I've got the victory. I don't have to wait till tomorrow. I don't have to wait till next week. I don't have to wait till the surgery is over. I don't have to wait till they make a decision. I don't have to wait till the enemies get through. I've got the victory. I wish I had a witness here. Concerning your future, some of you worrying about what tomorrow holds. I heard Jesus say, I am the first and I'm the last. And you know that we're somewhere in the middle of that. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, the same today, and the same tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but he told me to be still, because he holds tomorrow right in his hand. If tomorrow is in his hands, he knows what's going on tomorrow. If the future is in his hand, he knows what's going on in the future. And thank God I'm in his hand. So when he tells me to be still concerning my future, he's already planned my future. He's already prepared my future. He's already set the script for my future. He's already stocked up my blessings for the future. He's already got my stuff with my name on it in the future. I don't have to worry, because God is in control of my future. So excuse me if I'm not running around like a chicken with his head cut off. I believe God. That's why I'm gonna be still till he opened up the right doors. I'm gonna be still till he make my enemies my footstool. I'm gonna be still till he say, come on up a little bit higher. I'm gonna make you, I'm gonna be still till God works this thing out.
I used to wonder why the old preacher would say that, but he just said,